This is Bob Sugarman.
And Sally Sugarman.
Welcome back to Theater Talk.
The Mack Hayden Theater, the remarkable arena theater in Chatham, New York, that presents wonderful productions of musicals, celebrates its 50th season this year. John Saunders, artistic director of the company, is today's guest. Welcome, John. Tell us about the upcoming 50th season.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, we're very excited. The upcoming 50th season starts very soon, actually, and it's going to be jam-packed full of shows for everyone. I think we've really managed to get something for everyone's taste this year and to kind of show what a broad audience we have.
You want to go into the specifics?
Sure. Where should I start?
At the beginning.
Season? All right. Well, we're going to kick it off.
I feel like Alice in Wonderland. Start at the beginning.
We're going to kick it off with Damn Yankees. That's going to start us off May 24th. That's Memorial Day weekend. Damn Yankees then will lead into a production of Funny Girl, which we're really excited about, which hasn't been done around here at all and very rarely done, which we're excited about. Then we're going into Cabaret after that. And then we're going to do 3 big weeks of Mamma Mia, which is the most requested show in Mack Hayden Theater history, if you can believe it. We took it off the audience surveys last year, and it still won. So, Mamma Mia, here I come. Hunchback of Notre Dame, which we're very excited about. And then we're going to have some fun and do The Wedding Singer in the 6th slot, and then we're going to close the summer down with Annie. On our children's show stage, we've got The Real Story of Little Red Riding Hood, which is a really interesting children's show. We're doing Pied Piper in the 2nd slot. And this year, we're very lucky. We're going to premiere a new children's musical by our resident musical director called Wendy's Shadow. And we're going to present that starting in towards the end of the summer.
So, and the resident musical director is?
David Maglione.
Oh, good. He's back.
Last year. He is. Him and Jillian are both back. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
A lot of the pit or musicians are back for the summer, which is really exciting.
Aside from devoting its seasons to excellent musicals produced in rapid-fire succession with many experienced performers, you provide a training ground for young performers. We love watching them give such exciting performances in varied styles, show after show. Tell us about them, how it came about.
I think it's my favorite part of the gig here is that these kids that come out of the college programs, so many of them don't have a giant amount of credits. They have a lot of educational credits. Of course, they have their high school credits, but they really are just hungry for professional credits. And here we really, I mean, you're so immersed in it all summer. And they always come in one way and leave another. It's really amazing. The growth in the 3 or 4 months here doing this much theater on this time schedule is just remarkable. So it's kind of my favorite part of the summer. I love, of course, the jobbers and everyone who comes in to star in the shows, but it's always so fun to see these kids show up and then watch them step out in something. And, you know, suddenly you see these kind of stars of tomorrow here, you know, sweating it out on the boards. It's really fun to watch.
It's fun for the audience.
I have to say
that when you see them in all their different roles and you begin to recognize them, and it's so much fun. And as they go further on in the season, they get bigger parts.
Yeah, and every kid inevitably turns into somebody's favorite that they track all summer. You know, and it always surprises me because some people will say, "Oh my God, I just loved Connor all summer." And, oh, great. You know, it's kind of exciting that they hone in on one that they really just, that either tickles them or you know, really keeps them so engaged and interested. So it is fun to watch them.
50 years. I want to get back to that. That's a remarkable achievement.
Yes.
Anywhere, but in theater, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Tell us something about the history of the company.
The history of the company. The theater was founded in 1969. The first season was then. And it was Linda McNish and Lynn Hayden. And they did the first season on the Columbia County Fairgrounds. And I think it was just a, let's see what we can do. You know, let's do this and see what happens. And it stuck, you know. And they just kept going and going and going. And there's these amazing stories. There's so many that I wish Lynn could tell you that of just the community coming together and rallying around the theater and supporting it. There's a great story where the power went out one night and everybody pulled their cars and trucks up and they lit the show by the light of the cars, which is just so, you know, just so kind of, just let's put on a show. You know, it has that real, hey, kids, let's do this. And then, of course, they moved from the fairgrounds to the building we're in now. I believe it was 1983 that they've been up on the hill. And, it, you know, they've done many very different things. They tried a winter season one year. They've tried two different companies. I mean, they were pioneers, Lynn and Linda. So, you know, really just stuck, and the amount of people that have been involved from the beginning is astounding. There's so many people up at the theater still that have been here from the first day.
So what do you think is the secret of Mack Hayden's longevity?
I think it's a combination. I think it's, you know, I like to think that a lot of it is the volunteerism, is the community and what pulls everyone together for the summer. And this is not speaking of the company, the talent. I think the people that really keep the theater going are the volunteers and the ushers and the box office.
I love the little old lady who sells me coffee.
Oh, they're the best. They are the best. Yes. So I think there was such a dedication to the art, you know. And then, of course, I think that coupled with all these fresh faces every summer and, you know, the new shows that we get to do and the new things. And I think it really was just, you know, it's an amazing pastime, but it's truly, I think, about the community of people that Lynn and Linda assembled to keep the theater floating and going.
So we certainly congratulate you and the company all of last season. It was our first full season at the company.
Yeah.
And we just kept getting blown away show after show. Shows we knew, shows we didn't know.
Yeah.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which we didn't know at all. And it was just so exciting. And then when you did Hello, Dolly, that you directed, mm-hmm. you shared a Berkshire Critics Award, a Berkey, with Barrington Stage's production of Company. Tell us about how Dolly came about.
Well, to be picked up for the season, do you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was one of those things where we were actually thinking about putting it in the 50th because Monica Wemmett is kind of our resident Dolly. But it kind of turned out it was an odd thing. I just applied for the rights in the fall thinking there's no way I'm going to get the rights to Hello, Dolly with Bette Midler, basically packing them in New York. There's just no way I'm going to get the rights. Well, Tams Whitmark gave me the rights, and I thought, wow, this is cool. And I maybe they regretted it. I don't know. But I somehow got the rights. And I remember coming in and saying to Lynn, you're never going to believe what show I got. And she, you know, I said, Hello, Dolly. She goes, what? We're getting, you know, they tell us no to some other shows that are nowhere near Broadway. Then I put in this, you know, request to do this monster hit, you know. So Hello, Dolly is just such a solid classic for us. And us being built on classics is the, you know, Hello, Dolly is a no-brainer. And our audiences always do love it. And they love Monica Wemmett.
Yeah, we did, too. We did, too. But how do you choose your season? You're just giving a sense of it with Hello, Dolly. But
yeah,
how do you choose a season?
I actually, it's a good question. I start with the classics. I think we're a theater that is born and raised on classics. So I start there because I think that's our base, is that we are a classic musical theater house. So my theory is I got to find those root classics that will kind of anchor the season and also make our subscribers happy and our groups happy. We have a lot of groups. You haven't seen a matinee, but you wouldn't believe the bus traffic and the amount of groups that come, groups of like 200, 300 people at a time. It's wild. So I like to make sure that's covered. And then the next step to thing to tackle is the 3-week show, because everything else runs 2 weeks, which is bolstered and supported by our 2-week subscribers. The third week is that it's the gamble. You don't know what the third week will do because there's no subscription sold. So the third week is the 3-weeker is the next decision. And then from there, my goal has been to put new stuff in, stuff that we haven't seen, to broaden our audience. I'm trying to put some properties that are a little more contemporary, which they shied away from back in the day. So I'm trying to just find that delicate mix of old and new. I'm trying to bring the younger audience in, you know, the 15 to 25s, and to put something on that's good for them, and just appeal to a wider range. I'm trying to just grow the audience as much as I can.
Well, the Sweeney Todd, which was a distinctly different color to what you usually present, was such a stunning show. And to see a Mrs. Lovett without a blonde wig, totally reconceived, was so wonderful. It was a wonderful show. And having all your kids creeping down the aisles behind us was scary. Yeah. It was wonderful.
It was a very, it was so much fun. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, everybody looked at me like I was crazy when I mentioned Emily Crone for Mrs. Lovett. And I don't know why she came in and she was exactly what I had in my head. She was truly like just it.
Well, when I met her at the Berkey's, I said, "You're a kid," and it was such a shock. Because I'd never seen her off stage.
She's a fierce
and
talent.
She was amazing.
She's amazing. She really is. She's such a good actress, and she's really a chameleon. I mean, she's done some major roles for us here. And I'm so excited for her about Sweeney, because I really feel like Sweeney really kind of shook the audience and really kind of woke everyone up to like, yeah, that's Emily Crone. She was your, you know, she was your Nellie in South Pacific two seasons ago, and she was Genevieve in The Baker's Wife for us. So she's done some really big stuff for us, but somehow Mrs. Lovett just really broke her through.
How did your audiences respond to that?
Unbelievably, they absolutely loved it, and that's one of the things that I've had a really good time learning here, that I am taking some risks, and Lynn and I talked about Sweeney, and we were, you know, it's one of those shows that's not standard Mac Haden fare, and Lynn is she's brave and she loves to gamble and she loves to kind of go for it, and so do I. So we thought, let's do it. I mean, this is if there was a year to do it, you know, we can try and pull it off. And our audiences just loved it. I mean, people came back 2-3 times to see it. It really is, you know, it's got such a cult following anyway. So I was so thrilled to see so many new people coming in from all the area. I mean, kids that I couldn't believe the people that were showing up to see Sweeney Todd, but you know, they came back. They came back and they saw Spamalot. And some of them popped back in for Dolly. So, you know, we grabbed these Sweeney fans and suddenly they came back to see, wow, what are they going to do next? You know, and the space is, I think, so creepy and perfect for.
Yeah, that was. I mean, we have seen we've seen other productions of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was in the arena and that they were all around you felt like I'm in this crazy place, too.
Yeah. No, and especially the asylum stuff was fun. I mean. I kind of made that weird little terrarium out of the founder's entrance. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was very, you know, you could feel it, you know, and sometimes like some actors walked by people and you could feel their costumes, and it really was used.
You were right in the middle of it.
It was used to really good effect. And I'm pretty sure we got some blood on some people a couple nights.
Well, the other thing that you might comment on and that we find so fascinating is you have this arena stage and you have all of these wonderful settings with the things you paint on the walls.
Right.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I think I've been in the space for 18, almost 19 years, and I think the best way I can describe it is that the Mac Haden Theater, when those lights go down, it's like an extreme close-up. So you get this kind of tight focus on, sometimes, you know, when you watch a show on a big proscenium stage down on Broadway, you know, everything's so big and you miss things, you know, because it's so much to look at, you know. Now we're so, you know, everything is so spectacle, but here you have to focus your storytelling. So I feel like because we're so intimate that your eyes can't really drift around too much because everything is pulled and it's so isolated, I think, really well between the aisles and the different sections. You're never staring at one thing for too long. You're always kind of looking and moving and your head's moving and something will jump up and catch your eye over here. So I think because of the space, it's like a very stimulating, you know, place to see a show.
Yeah, but you also create, before the lights go down, you've created a sense of where you are.
Yeah, environment.
By all those paintings that you have, by the way you paint the walls.
Yeah, and that's the thing we want you to feel, and that's, you know, one of the things I'm very passionate about is the pre-show music, and there's a lot of sound, there's a half hour soundscaping that goes into every show to kind of set the mood. So when you do walk into the room, you feel like you're heading, like in Sweeney Todd, you may not have noticed it, but there was horse and carriages, and there was a lot of like street sounds going on. So you were meant to feel like you were in that time, you know. And sometimes it's music, but sometimes it's soundscaping. So trying to just get the environment on the walls is the way to go, and then let the story come forward on when the lights go down.
Well, it's unique in that it's arena theater that does have scenery.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a modified thrust, really.
Yeah.
It's that section two, as we call it, aisle two. There's a good, like where we had Van de Gelder's Hay and Feed, we had the restaurant in Hello Dolly. There is a scenic element to it. So it does have kind of a thrust feel to it sometimes. And it's nice because it does give us an anchor of scenic element there, which is good.
Producing any theater is expensive, more expensive than tickets can ever cover. And this is particularly true of producing musicals with a large cast, musicians, costumes, royalties. Mm-hmm. How do you pay for it? How do you do it?
Wow, smoke and mirrors. We have an amazing base of people who are our founders, and we have some tremendous people that help us throughout the winter and donate every year, of course. We do operate on some grants, and we do, you know, operate through the ticket sales. It is a very delicate organization, and after 2008, for example, it was a very, very tough time for us, you know, and we finally feel like we're starting to rev up again, you know. But yeah, it's a very delicate balance. It's very careful budgeting. It's a well thought out machine that really Lynn and Linda, you know, got going, and now I'm just trying to, you know, improve on that as best as I can, and trying to make the most out of, because, you know, the budgets haven't really gone up. We don't have a lot of money, you know, so you're really looking at, like, you know, a lot of creativity to make all that happen. Yeah.
What is your rehearsal schedule?
Wow. So our rehearsal schedule is, when once we open the first show, That's on a Thursday. Friday morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we do music, and we have very little time for that first weekend. We teach all the music the first weekend, but also do five shows. So they have music rehearsal for like 4 hours on Friday, and then about 3.5 hours on Saturday, and 2 hours on Sunday. Then we get a day off, and then we have one long day in the middle of the process. That's at 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's when we put up most of the show, as much of the show as we can. And then we pepper in rehearsals while the other show runs its second week. So when they're not performing in a show, they're rehearsing a show. So it's an incredibly tight schedule. If you looked at our daily schedule, you'd be like, how do you keep track of all this? Because there's multiple rooms. On any given day, like on a Tuesday, you'll see two rooms rehearsing. You'll see choreography in one room, staging in another room. You might see like a group tap dancing in the driveway. You might see two kids running scene work on the back deck. So it really is like, you know, it's pretty wild. And then the other show closes, and we come together, and we have one more long day of rehearsal on Monday. We tech Tuesday. We do a run Wednesday, and then we have an invited dress rehearsal Wednesday night. It's pretty insane, you know. But what we can pull off is just so, you know, just incredible, you know.
I was interested in going to your website that all these wonderful costumes that we see show after show, that you rent them out to other theaters. So that's a source of income?
It is. It is a source of income. We have an enormous amount of costumes. Like, we have too many. We're always kind of having to like thin the herd. But yeah, we do costume rentals throughout the year. We're not as big as some of the bigger rental companies in the country, but we, you know, we do kind of keep a steady stream. So that does help. Yeah.
We know that you've acted it here in the past in Mack Hayden, mm-hmm. before we started coming, and we were certainly very impressed with your singing in last year's end of season cabaret.
Thanks.
Will you be performing again here?
You know, yes, I think I will be performing here again, and I'm not going to be performing this summer. I know I'm going to get a lot of grief for it, but you know, it's so difficult to do as much as I'm doing, and then to have to act. It's really hard, and it's also a tricky thing for me. You know, when you're in a show, it's a different thing than being the director, or in my case, being the artistic director, aka the boss, you know. And I've always kind of felt like I don't want anyone to edit themselves backstage, and when I'm back there, I feel like, you know, I'm the boss, and I don't want the kids to not, you know, do their, you know, all their backstage nonsense because I'm back there, or or for that matter, ask me questions about the upcoming show and how they can get cast in it. So I try, you know, it's a tricky thing. It's very hard. And, you know, there is so much work off stage that I do now that I can't even believe it, you know, and sometimes the thought of performing is just too daunting for me, unless it's Edna and Hairspray, and then I'll just do it. Because I said, everybody asked, when are you going to be on stage again? I said, I don't know, when are we doing Hairspray again?
Well, what will you be directing?
This year I'm directing Damn Yankees, I'm directing Cabaret, and I'm directing The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Yeah, so those three. There might be a fourth in there, I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things that's wonderful about Mack Hayden is that it's musicals. When I'm talking about theater in Bennington and to my Rotary Club, everybody wants to come to see musicals. They love
they
musicals.
Do.
And,
yeah.
And it's a very special part of theater. What do you think is the magic of musicals?
Well, I think that, you know, it's this heightened sense of being alive. I mean, I think musicals are so fun to get lost in, you know, and you know, when you watch a musical and things get so intense that they have to sing, you know, it's just a nice piece to get lost in, you know. And I think what we're doing, I think, is also fun because you do have the chance to come and see, you know, you can see in the season, like for us this year, you're going to be able to see this, you know, Julie Stein's Funny Girl, but then you're also going to be able to come and see Alan Menken's Hunchback of Notre Dame. So you get such different things. And there are musicals that are big comedy. There's musicals that are, you know, if you're into the song and dance, there's the 42nd Streets of the world. But then there's also the Sweeney Todds and the real dramatic ones. So I just think the form is just incredible.
Well, I wrote a play that was done at Shakespeare and Company 5 years ago. And in it, I had inserted, it's set in a barbershop. Okay. And these guys had all dreamt of going in vaudeville. So occasionally they would sing. And it was so interesting to me going to the performances. As soon as there was music, you could feel the audience moving forward in their seats. And you become engaged on a totally different level.
Yeah, it's just such a heightened, music is such an emotional experience. And, you know, we can get there via dialogue, but when you start to sing, you know, when Julie and Billy start to sing on the bench in Carousel, it's something happens there. That, you know, you just, it's almost indescribable.
Some theater companies, we go to a lot of theater. You're busy doing one theater. We go to the mall.
Yes, I know.
And we get to see what you don't see because we go to the other theaters. But some theaters have a very special feeling to them. Like you step on the campus, you come to the theater, and you know that you're at a special place. Yeah. And this is one of them. What is it?
You know, I think it's, you know, I think the biggest thing is there's no pretension. You know, it's still a place. The Mac is somewhere where you can come and it's just so casual. And again, I think it's the little lady who sells you your coffee. You know, it's the guys and gals ringing the bells, and, you know, you'll see an actor walking around, or you'll, you know, it's just very, I think, inviting and not standoffish at all. And that's what we've always tried to do, is just be very welcoming. And it really has that sense of, hey, let's put on a show. But it's just such an intimate setting, you know. Not all the time when you go see a show can you look across the stage and see other audience members. You know, so really, like, as shared experiences go, this one is really intense because it's you're in a bowl and you're looking across the way at other people enjoying things, and you know, you can see someone else laughing at something uncontrollably, and where a lot of times we're just looking at the backs of people's heads. So I think that has a lot to do with the theater inside too, you know. But I, again, going back to these volunteers and the box office, and you know, the first thing you do is stop at the box office, and inevitably there's someone cute and fun looking out welcoming you to the theater, which I think is just so great, you know.
Well, tell us about your children's program at
Children's program is amazing. Our children's theater program, we start kind of into the third show with the children's theater for young audiences, and we see a lot of camps. We see a lot of, you know, they're really busy, the children's shows. We only do them on Friday and Saturday mornings, and they're pretty packed. This year, I'm actually really excited. We're starting a new program. I'm developing a new curriculum for an apprentice program this year. I have two teaching artists that will be here, Aaron Spears and Paul Wyatt, who have been both been on stage and have worked for us for a long time. And I'm going to start to now develop the kind of like a pre-college prep apprentice program where I can help these kids who are obviously local and from up here get ready for college prep and get them, you know, get them just like some good basic technique, as well as exposing them to all the technical departments. You know, I'm letting them run around with stage management, props, costumes. I have them kind of float all over. I'm starting small this summer. I'm only doing a few students, and I'm hoping to grow that into a bigger program every year, for our older teenagers especially. But yeah, the children's theater program is pretty incredible.
That's really needed.
Yeah.
Well, it's 50 years now. What do you project for the future? What do you... Well, we don't have to talk about the next 50, but the next 5 or 10, where do you see Mack Hayden changing or just continuing? Or
yeah, I think changing is kind of maybe not the right word. I think growing and evolving, I think, is the better word. And I'd like to offer more. You know, I'd like to keep pushing the technical elements and really just, I love this, you know, like what you guys said, we surprised you. You know, when you saw the shows last year, you weren't, you know, we kept surprising you and kept, you know, every show kind of kept doing that to you. I just want to keep the audiences engaged and excited to come back. In addition to that, I also want to engage the community more. I would like to be a bigger part of Chatham and the local businesses. And I think, you know, we small towns, we need to do that. And I think that we have the ability to, you know, find the synergy with Main Street and the small businesses and really, you know, become a big part of the community, which would be great.
Our guest today has been John Saunders, Artistic Director of the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York. For information, more information about this season's Mack Hayden program, go online at mackhaydentheater.org.
John, thanks for visiting Theater Talk. We look forward to the season and to our interviews with some of the folks involved in it. We love doing that. We think they're crazy to make themselves available on opening night before the show. I still can't believe they do it.
They love it. They're so into it.
But they're wonderful interviews, and we look forward to that and to the season.
Yeah, and thank you, guys. Your interviews are great. So thanks for having us, and we'll see you very soon. We start in like 2 months.